You're listening to the Rama Blueprints, Extra Commentary, the Achuchas Trauma to Transformation. In this extra commentary, we speak with cultural bearer Danzante, teaching artist Freddy Chavez, and Elvia Aguirre, a visual community artist. Both Freddy and Elvia work directly with incarcerated youth through the Achuchas Trauma to Transformation program, which envisions those who have been impacted by incarceration to reshape their narrative in order to grow, create, and heal. The goal is to facilitate creative and brave spaces that bring individuals together to build community. Their work takes place inside the juvenile detention centers of San Fernando Valley and throughout LA County. First of all, welcome. I'd like to welcome both of you, Freddy and Elvia, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
So I want to ask you, what was your own journey that led you to connecting with social justice work, youth advocacy, cultural arts, I mean, the cultura movement? What led you to coming to this part of your life's journey?
Okay. Well, I've always taught art. I've always done art. I feel like anywhere that I can take my art, as long as I'm teaching what I'm passionate about, then I will do it. About 8 years ago, Rebecca from Trauma Transformation reached out to me and she said if I was interested in doing this. Honestly, I've never done such thing like teaching inside like of a juvenile hall space, but I thought, why not give it a chance, right? Let's see what this work is about. And it's about 8 years now that I'm been working with Trauma Transformation through Teatruchas. I feel like as long as I can reach folks with the arts, you also can heal through the arts. Mm. I think that's where I'm going to be at, you know?
Right on. When you listened to the podcast, what did you hear in the conversation that can be used in your own practice? And what do you see as some of the commonalities?
She mentioned that somebody first offered, for the first time in her life, offer like, what do you want to do? That's something that I actually been doing for a while. Like, when I first meet any youth, I'll be like, I'm here for you. What do you want to do? Do you want to drum? Do you want to talk? Do you want to draw? What is it? This is your time. We're visiting you and your space. And I think that catches them because every time they're in there, they don't have an option. Right. Mm-hmm. So that really like I really connected with that because it's something that at least I like to bring out with the youth every time, because once they're in there, like they don't have an option to do things. Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm only there maybe every day once, like max 2 hours. So I'm going to make it about them, not about what I know, but more like, what do you want to learn or do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very moving to hear the young sister say that she was very impacted when she was not being told what she's going to do, but when she was asked, what do you want to do? When you're approaching that way, you're acknowledging the person. A lot of our youth, they're not being acknowledged at all. The message is you are not the worst decision you ever made. That's not who you are. But they have them in there. Mm. They're constantly telling them, you're here because this is what you did. This is who you are. That's not who you are. You are not whatever decision it is that got you there. So one of the things that I try to teach when I'm drumming, because it's going to be rhythms, and a lot of times people are intimidated and they don't want to do a mistake. And I say, you know, there's no mistakes in what we're going to do. We shouldn't even be using the word mistake. So let's replace that word. Mm. Everything is a learning experience. And we should apply that to life. In life, we shouldn't call it a mistake. Because when you call it a mistake, it cripples you. You're in school and you don't want to give them an answer because you don't want to give a wrong answer because you don't want to make a mistake. I've found that by setting the stage that way, it allows anyone that's learning to be free. It's okay. We're not here. We're not judging. You're not making a mistake. We're not calling it a mistake. We're calling it a learning experience. It's incredible because once you create an environment where the youth are being acknowledged, it takes a while, but they open up and you realize they're still young. When they're being themselves, they're really young. And a lot of us are young because a lot of us are emotionally stunted. If something happens to you at a young age, a trauma, and it doesn't get taken care of, or you start getting high at a young age, you become emotionally stunted. And so we become emotionally immature. And a lot of our community is suffering from that. Even their parents,
absolutely,
you know, or the parents' parents. I mean, it goes through many generations. And this whole idea of intergenerational trauma. So I think what we need to talk about collective healing and collective recovery as a community, you know, so that the parents get pulled in and everyone else gets pulled in. The relatives get pulled in. And there's no shame in the fact that, hey, we're hurt. We've been hurt. We've been traumatized. And if that's not addressed, when our heart gets broken or we become hurt and it's not addressed, it's not resolved, it's not healed, it turns into anger, you know? And what happens is when we're emotional and we're emotionally reacting to whatever life is throwing at us, reason and logic is suspended. There is no reason and logic. And so a lot of our youth and a lot of adults, a lot of our people in our community, we're reacting to life. We're not responding.
Reacting, that's right.
Lately, we've been having a lot of cooperation, with, especially with the youth. And it's been really incredible because we've had situations where we do invite some of those POs to drama. They absolutely say no. But when we get these youth involved and we get some rhythms happening, next thing you know, the POs are drumming out there too. And other people start coming in, you know? And so it's even shifting them. They're starting to have a different approach because it's impacting them because we shift the energy in there. Or when Evia goes in with art, there's been times when Evia starts projects with them and she'll start pulling out the colors and she's got everything set up for them or what have you. And they'll like say, you know, what is this? You know, we're not in kindergarten. And then I'll just check it out, man. Just check it out. Yeah. Check out what's happening.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it at the time, but I've come to realize, okay, by the time they're done, though, they're like saying, I didn't know I was an artist. They're all excited. And it's not bad being in kindergarten because you're having so much fun when you're in kindergarten. When you think about it, what was it like when you were in kindergarten, you know? A lot of times people are having a good experience because it's childlike. And so when the POs see that, like today, we had such a profound experience because we go in, and by the time we leave, there's a complete change in attitude. Everybody's happy, and even the POs are cooperating. The experience we're having is so profound because we're working with art. There's other times when I'm going with another brother named Kasasi. He was in the pen. He was locked up, but now he's been out. He's a poet. He's teaching creative writing. He's taking in the djembe drum, and I'm taking in the wewe. And we don't say, we just come together, we start playing these two drums. And we found a way to play these two drums that are doing completely different rhythms. And we're using that like icebreaker. Like we're communicating with these drums, and we're teaching them how to communicate with each other, with the drums.
Tell me a little bit about the process on how you engage. And then how do you refer and follow up once they've gotten out?
Part of it is going in and I break it down for them, especially when I do art, right? I sit in with them in community with them. And I explain to them, we're going to sit in community and we're going to do this art together. So that removes the part of I am the teacher, you're the student part, right? I really never liked that part when I was like in elementary, middle school, all that, high school, right? So removing that part eases it out too, because it also makes you feel like I'm trying to bring that vibe that like you're human, I'm human, we're all human here, right? It's not that you're a criminal hall and you're a criminal and I'm a teacher and I'm criminal outside. I'm trying to remove that and also along the way educate others that sometimes ask me like, how is it working in there? I'm like, well, if you're gonna look at it like they're different from you, that it's gonna be a different turnout. I've learned that these are young men, you know, and they made a different decision, and I don't know them, so I'm going to get to know them by sitting in a table with them and breaking down artwork step by step. And along the way, we're going to have a conversation. And by the end of the class, we're going to get to know each other. And by the end of 6 weeks, we probably know more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, I feel like it's worth when we do that, when we sit in community. And we talk about what that looks like, right?
Right.
Maybe at times, depending on the crowd, we need to set some agreements, right?
Mm-hmm.
On what do we envision the next hour looking like? And then maybe as they get comfortable, we don't need to reiterate, like, how does that look? It just naturally comes together, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we go in, like, with the drums, it's a different setting because, like, we're coming in and we're going to set up. By the time we're set up, they're coming in. They're getting ready to come and sit down and drum with us, right? So the class changes also depending on, like, who I'm co-teaching with as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I feel like that works is removing that part of authority. I'm coming in and I'm a human, you're a human, we're gonna get to know each other.
Right. And so once they've come out, let's say you engage with a young person for 6 weeks and they're now released, and what's that follow-up process?
We usually have bookmarks from the bookstore, the Achuchas,
okay.
Stickers.
Mm-hmm.
I think from the first day, we're always like, we'll give them one, and maybe in 2-3 weeks, we'll give them another one. But we're always talking about the Achuchas, mm-hmm. and that, like, they can contact the Achuchas and ask for us, or ask for, like, any of the folks from Trauma and Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're ready, like, for the next step, then we can connect them with the right people.
So you know? The Achuchas just acts as a connector, as a landing space. And that's an excellent way, because one of the most tangible things with young people, right, especially is that when we were doing outreach in San Francisco, we used to hand them a card, right? And on the back of the card, it said, you have an appointment with, and it was just scribbled on there. Now I would write Socorro or Donna or Michelle or Ray or Fred. And we'd say, put it in your back pocket. Socorro. I go, just put it in your back pocket or put it somewhere. And they would bring that wrap. And then we'd go, oh, okay, we met you at outreach. Orale, so let's talk. But I think it's excellent that giving them that bookmarker, having something to hold on to that says, okay, when I get out, not every organization is going to be able to hand them a job, but you're going to hand them some hope.
Of course.
Hand them some hope. Uh-huh. Hand them some kind of place where they can come, connect with Freddie. And what are some of the other things that Trauma to Transformation does?
The Trauma to Transformation program meets with the men every Monday, just helping them transition back into the community. And at a space dedicated to healing with the arts. That's what the Achuchas is all about. It's about healing, transforming with the arts. And it's a bookstore as well. The Achuchas has a press. There's open mic, there's theatrical work, there's guitars and son jarocho, danza azteca there. It's just so much. It's incredible there. It's a space that's been created for their community to thrive. And it keeps growing. And now it's like 3 times bigger than its original foundation 20 years ago. There's murals, there's art in there. You're just surrounded by the cultura, by books of all kinds of different subjects, you know, awareness, consciousness, children's books. And it's a very unique place in Northeast San Fernando Valley.
In listening to both of you speak and having this conversation, and I think it's important to really explore the conversation around the similarity in the work that you guys are doing to the number of people in all the various communities doing very similar work. And there's so many of us connected. This podcast is dedicated to frontliners, to people that are actually doing the direct service. I think that extremely grateful to both of you that you continue to do this work. And I'll ask you one last thought or comment. What keeps you inspired, especially you, Freddie, you know, veterano, and, you know, con todo respeto, carnal.
Absolutely.
Chicano power.
Yeah. What keeps you, you know, inspired still? And for you, Elvia, what will keep you inspired and motivated. So let's go with the elder first, you know. So, so you Freddie, know, you know, what keeps you inspired to continue?
What inspires me is I came to realize that one of the most important things that we need to promote in our community is to create spaces of imagination and creativity. That's so profound, because if we are a reflection of the universe, and the universe, you know, we're the micro and the universe is the macro, we rise to the universe with our imagination and creativity. And what inspires me, like, was for today to just see some of these youth that come in that have no intention of participating sometimes, but by the time they leave, they're so happy. And to see them when they put their guard down and they're childlike, you know? And it's not cool to be childlike in the neighborhood. But as you become an elder, it's important to be childlike. It's important to never lose that childlike wonder and imagination and creation, you know? And that's really what it's about. When we're doing our ceremonies, I always believed that they had to do with the celebration of life, right? But I've come to realize that it has to do with creation. You're creating. It could be a beautiful presentation with the laying down of the flowers, but you're also transforming the space. There's so much creation happening. And that's what's so important, that we are beings. We are creative beings. We can take something from our imagination, from way back there. We can reach into our minds and bring it forward and put into action and make it happen. We need to remind ourselves, whether it be our youth or whether it be anyone in our community, we have this profound ability to make it real, you know? And as long as there is imagination and creativity in our communities, we're gonna find the solutions. So I think that's what's so important. That's what keeps me going, is to see in our youth. They provide the vitality for me. As I'm getting older and I see all that energy and I see them light up, I don't feel like I'm getting older. I feel like I get their vitality, and I can provide them with my experiences and my wisdom. That's the exchange that's happening. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Yeah.
Elvia?
So one of the things that keeps me really inspired and that keeps me going is, like, working with the right people, right? Mm-hmm. I think Teatro Chaz gives me that space to create, to make classes that are not like controlled, right? They're more like, hey, like, what do you want to teach and how do you want to bring it about, right? Versus, like, I used to work at a school, and it was very like, oh, this is where you got to teach and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, like, with Teatro Chaz, it's very inspiring to wake up and go and be like, okay, you're going to teach an 8-week class. What do you want to teach, right? And the backup is to, like, what kind of materials do you envision having? And, like, to get the go to do these projects, right? Like the murals that we've done in the past, and just the projects of like me and Freddie working together with the drums. Mm-hmm. These things are very inspiring, because then you go with the attitude of like, I can do this, and I'm doing it with like a coworker that's a friend, and that we already have connection outside of just going to work there, but also in the community, you know? Mm. And those little things are inspiring to me.
Well, I want to thank both of you again. We've been speaking with Freddie Chavez, who has over 30 years of experience, a cultural bearer, a community activist, as well as with Elvia Aguirre, a visual community artist, both artists working with the Achuchas Cultural Cafe and Bookstore, and with the Trauma to Transformation Program. We continue to explore these topics, and we know that change is inevitable. And how that comes about is to continue to inspire folks, whether they are, outside or inside, but to continue to work with the people and to create opportunities for humanity, no matter where we are. And so I'm grateful to both of you today. And thank you and continued blessings for all of your work. And we'll be talking soon. Gracias por todo. This is the Rama Blueprints podcast. This is Socorro Gamboa, your host. Thank you again for joining us.
The Five Sisters Audio Garden would like to thank you for listening to the Rama Blueprints podcast and acknowledge the following. Garesen SF, Instituto Familiar de la Raza, Brava Women for the Arts, the San Francisco Foundation, Change Elemental, and the many individual supporters who have graciously donated to our production. It is because of your kindness that we are able to produce the Rama Blueprints podcast. Thank you to the Achucha Stromata Transformation Program and the staff for their dedication and commitment to the youth. This episode was produced and edited by Darren J. DeLeon and Socorro Gamboa. You can listen to the Rama Blueprints at caresnsf.org or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you like our show, subscribe and share it with two people. And remember, to listen is to heal. All power to the people.